Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So it's interesting, just before I get underway with the meat of the message, my life has been, I believe, transformed over a number of years, but particularly in the last 12 months, I have been really challenged in my Christianity, in my boldness and God working through me, and this year I was challenged to read about all the miracles of Jesus, and I mentioned it in a message a couple of weeks ago, but I'm working through from Matthew, Mark, Luke and John through all the miracles of Jesus. And so through that process, the first thing that I did was I went back a step and I read through the temptations of Jesus through his baptism and then in through the temptations. And from a point of view of Jesus walked in power, and I'll go through that in a little minute, but I've really been challenged in the whole area of his miracles, and I believe that, you know, it says in Acts that comes to those who believe, and we can all pray for the sick and we can all see God's power work. And so part of that process has been learning and understanding the things that Jesus went through. And I'm not Jesus, but I have Jesus in me, as anyone who has accepted Christ has Jesus in them. So it's really been a challenge for me, and it's been an each day challenge, and some days have been more challenging than others. And like with this morning, it gets a little bit edgy sometimes when you either bring a word like that, or, you know, you look like you could be made a fool of in some senses, but it's a little bit like living on the edge. So where people who don't know God experience his love, his power at first hand, each day, any time and anywhere. That's what we want to see. We want to see people experience God's love and his power any time, anywhere. Not just in church. This is an equipping time. But it doesn't end today. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. To experience God's love and power. Now, when we first read about his entry into the ministry, he was baptized in an amazing scene that we see in the Gospels. And it says the Spirit descended upon him. And at that point of sonship, we heard God say from the heavens, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." And then the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days, and he was tempted, and from there he went out in power. And if we read Luke 4:13-14, it says, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he temporarily left him until a more opportune time. Then Jesus went back to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the entire region." Now, it would have been difficult for Jesus, I would say impossible, to deal with the temptations without these three things. Firstly, the understanding of sonship, knowing whose he was, that he was God's son, and that God was pleased with him. "This is my son, who I'm well pleased." It would have been difficult for him to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. And it would have been difficult for him to do this on and going forward from the temptations without the ongoing relationship with the Father. And all these are connected. And he did listen to the Father. And it's very clear in Scripture. And we see there are a number of verses, but I'm pulling out John 8:28-29. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I can do nothing of myself, But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. See, Jesus showed us God when he was on the earth. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, it says in John 14, verse 9. And as Christians, if you're a Christian here today, we are little Christs. If Christ is within us, we are little Christ. We are his representation on the earth right now. And some days we struggle with that. Some days we struggle with, are we representing God with Christ in us on this earth? And as you well know, and I try and tell lots of stories from my other workplace, which is not here, which is over at Bunnings. Just a small one the other day, and I know it's only small, but the other day I was serving a gentleman who was a lovely gentleman, and he was looking for some really cheap paint. And anyway, I was just going through the process with him, and he wanted a particular colour, and I said, well, you can't have that colour in that particular cheap paint because they're specified colours. Right where I was, I pointed to him, but you can have it in this, which was about $10 dearer. And I pointed to it. I made it very clear anyway. We came back to the desk and he picked a colour and he said, I'd like it in this. I said, okay, that's fine. No probs at all. So just before I began to colour the paint up that he'd asked for, I said to him, now you do realise it's going to be about $10 dearer than the one that you first picked out. And he got quite stroppy with me. And had a dip at me and said, well, why didn't you explain that in the first place? And my reaction wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either. And there was this self-justifying thing that arose within me that I had to justify my position. And rather than say, yep, you're right, I should have explained it better and move on, I had to justify myself. Now, it wasn't mean or nasty or anything like that. But there was a bit of the Holy Spirit that spoke to me just as I turned around, and in my annoyance, I was gritting my teeth and I was frustrated. The Holy Spirit said to me, did you need to respond like that? And I thought, geez, there's some days it's good to have the Holy Spirit. There are some days I just wish he wouldn't speak to me. And so it's funny that I've worked through that over the next little while. And as I was preparing this message, this picture came back into my mind about representing Christ. Do we represent Christ everywhere we go? Or do we smile here on a Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, do we not represent Christ? Do we represent Christ to our kids, our friends, our fellow workers? Do we represent Christ? Well, the Holy Spirit has given you the power to represent Christ. Our purpose is to love God and to love others. And the Bible says, and this is how people will know that we are his disciples. Yes, this is how people will know that we are his disciples. If we look again at the process Jesus went through, we need to understand and have an awareness and a readiness that we will go through some of the things that Jesus went through, including temptation. And as much as we have a purpose, which is to bring life into our situations with Christ in us, Satan, the enemy and the prince of this world, would like to render us ineffective. And the Bible says to steal, kill and destroy. Render us ineffective in bringing heaven to earth. Bringing heaven to earth. And after the amazing events during Jesus' baptism, and when the Father said, "This is my Son who I'm well pleased," he was led by the Spirit. He didn't just wander out and it happened. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and he was tempted. And so, dealing with temptation as we're looking at today, and that's what my message is entitled, Out of Temptation or Out from Temptation. Does it affect, if we're not dealing with temptation, does it affect our ability to go out in power? Does it affect it? And so I just want to seed that question with you. If we don't deal with temptation and we don't use the Holy Spirit inside of us to deal with temptation, does it impact or affect our ability to go out in power? Matthew 4:1 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So let's have a look at the devil. He was tempted by the devil. Most of you will probably know this, but let's have a bit of a refresher. Now remember, the devil was defeated. And we need to deal with the devil in that way. He's not a victor, he's a defeated foe. So let's just remember that. So in Genesis 3, 1 to 3, now the serpent was more crafty. And in brackets there, if you see it, it says, subtle, skilled in deceit, than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" He puts a question first. Can it really be? But the serpent said to the woman, and this is following on. But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. So he's questioned God and he said that you won't die. For God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. That is, you will have greater awareness and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And then we see in Revelation 12:9, so remember the devil and who he is and what he stands for. And the great dragon was thrown down, the age-old serpent who is called the devil and Satan. And this underlined paragraph I've got, "He who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world." That's what the Amplified Version says. He who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world. So he's subtle and he's skilled in deceit. Now, there's many other things I could put up there. And then it says, he who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world. So I reckon it came to this time after he'd had great success with Adam and Eve. It came to this time of tempting Jesus. And I reckon he looked round. I don't know whether you've ever seen a sporting team that thinks they're better than the other team. And they might look at each other. I reckon Satan looked at his demons and he goes, "I've got this. I'm all over this. How easy is this?" The second Adam comes along and he says the same thing. "I've got this. How easy is this?" Well, guess what, Satan? It's not going to be easy. And the end is near for you. And so we see Satan cop it in the neck, so to speak. And he cops it in the neck so that we can see that we have the ability to overcome temptation. Now, if you're sitting here today and say, "I struggle with temptation in its different areas and I can't overcome temptation," that is a lie of the devil. Number one lie of the devil. You can overcome temptation. It is possible. With the Holy Spirit inside you, you can. And you need to know that you can. If you come from a mindset that I'm defeated, then you will be defeated. But you need to know and understand that you can overcome the power of Satan and you can overcome temptation. Okay, so let's have a look at the first temptation. Matthew 4 and verse 2. After he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, I don't know whether anyone participated in the Feb fast, but 40 days of fasting would have me on the edge, I reckon. Did anyone do 30 days without food or just water? Did anyone do, I'm not asking you to boast, did anyone do that? I struggled with coffee and chocolate. But 40 days, and I know he would have had assistance in terms of water, but 40 days fasting in the desert, when it came time for the devil to come to him, I would have been on the edge. And so to hear and understand this, it's not just a throwaway, oh, Jesus was tempted. It was after 40 days without food. And he would have been on the edge. And so if we have a look at this, the first thing that we see is that he will come to you in your weakness. And so if you love chocolate, he's not going to bring broccoli before you. It's not going to happen. He is going for your weakness. At your weakest point, when you're most tired, when you're most vulnerable, to bring you down. The second thing we see is the focus is on the bread. Satan always focuses in on the flesh and its desires so as to weaken the spirit. See, after he'd gone without food for 40 days, he tempted him with food. And the third thing we see is that he will almost always question the truth, like he did with Adam and Eve. If you are the Son of God, he'll put a question mark. Might be a subtle question, but it'll be a question. Or did God say? And let's have a look at Jesus' response. And there's a lot in his response. And he said, but Jesus replied, it is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And I saw three things out of this response. Firstly, it is written. He stands and says there is no doubt on the truth of the word of God. There is absolutely no doubt. It is written and it is forever written. It will stand forever. That there's no doubt in Jesus' mind on the word of God and the power that comes in the word and the truth of his word. So that's the first thing. It is written. The second thing we see is he deals with the lie that we were only flesh. So he comes to him and he says, and Jesus replies to him, it's not by bread alone. Now, there's nothing wrong with bread. There's nothing wrong with it at all. There's nothing wrong with food. There's nothing wrong with our physical bodies. But you can hear Satan when he'll be telling you, there's no spirit. It's only bread. You're only flesh. You're not spirit. But that's not true. The truth is, it's okay to have bread. But the lie is, you are only made for flesh. You are alive in Christ in your spirit. And if you've accepted Christ, you live by his spirit eternally. And if we look at the age and we look at the things that are prevalent right now, we see atheism. There is no God. There is no spirit. It's all about flesh. And we look at things like building wealth, like wealth creation. And that's the only thing that matters. The Bible talks about don't store up for yourself things on this earth that moth and rust will destroy. Go for the spiritual things. That's the eternal value. And not only is it, it's not just about receiving the Spirit and having a ticket to go to heaven. Life in the Spirit is better here on earth than life without the Spirit. So don't let Satan tell you, don't let him tempt you in a way that draws you to the things of this earth and away from his Spirit. And the third thing that I noticed is he speaks about every word. Now, Satan will use every distraction possible to not only keep you from spending time in the Word, and I'm not just talking about the written Word, but having it become revelation. But he would love you to read part of the story and not all of the story. Every second word he'd love you to read. A half-truth he'd like you to hear, not the whole truth. And with half-truths comes confusion. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we don't understand the whole truth and we doubt it. So even if you're in the Word, make sure that you get the whole picture. Don't use half-quoted scriptures. I quoted one the other night that's often half-quoted. And this is just an example, and there are plenty of them. Resist the devil and he will flee. There's a quoted scripture. No, that's not what all it says, and it's long, and this is only part of what I'm saying. The addition to it is it says, no, submit to God in all things. Resist the devil and he will flee. So don't expect the devil to flee if you don't submit to God in all things. Don't pick and choose and go, that's nice, but I won't do that, it's too hard. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Because with the whole truth, the devil has no leg to stand on in your life. None whatsoever. So let's have a look at the second temptation. Matthew 4, verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city in Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle, the highest point of the temple. And he said mockingly to him, there's the question again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to serve, care for, protect and watch over you, and they will lift you up on their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And then Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written. So on the other hand, yep, maybe part of it's true, Satan, but the whole truth is this. It is written, and forever remains written, you shall not test the Lord your God. So let me paraphrase that for you. And I'm going to do this really simple for these next two temptations. In other words, you can do whatever you want, you can do whatever you want to do and it'll be okay. Do whatever you want. Whatever you want to do. You know, I was listening to a radio talkback program the other day, and one of the talkback people said, this line does my head in. I just want to slap people when they say it. But the Holy Spirit doesn't allow me to do that, so... It's okay, you can do whatever you want to do as long as you don't hurt anyone. There's one of the biggest lies of the ages. And I'm not going to go down that path because I could be talk all morning on it. You can do whatever you want to do, he says to him, and it'll be okay. You'll be safe. It's no worries. See, there are so many times in our life when this temptation comes into play. We can't violate God's principles, his word, the things he puts for our benefit, and then expect everything to fall into place. Let me say that again. We can't violate God's principles, his word, his principles that he puts for our benefit, and then expect everything to be okay or fall into place. See, there are reasons why God says to rest. There are reasons why he says, rest, because it's good for us. There are reasons why he says to forgive and don't hold grudges. It's not for the other person's benefit, it's for our benefit. There are reasons why he puts in his word, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Be a person of character. because it's good for us and it's good for everyone else. There are reasons why he puts things in the Word like, if you've got an issue with someone, go to them and them alone. There are reasons why he says that. There are reasons why he says, be slow to become angry. There are reasons why he says, and Andy did an awesome message a couple of weeks ago on don't compare yourselves one to another. And there are mountains of different things. And you might think, Chris, are they temptations? Well, they're temptations when you come to the point of going, I'm not going to forgive that person, and you allow it to outwork in your mind. And at that point of saying you should forgive them, you are falling to temptation when you don't forgive. You cannot violate God's principles and not expect everything to be okay. Let's have a look at the third temptation. Matthew 4, 8 to 10. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, splendor, magnificence and excellence of them. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remains written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here we go. I'm going to paraphrase this one nice and easy again. In other words, you can have whatever you want to have and it'll be okay. There's another lie. Look at all that. Look at that. Look at that car. Look at that house. Look at that piece of chocolate. You can have it all. By the way, does that sound familiar? We sing a song, you can have it all, Lord. Well, Satan's singing another one to you. You can have it all as long as it's not of God. Well, you can't have it all. Every part of my world. That is a harder song to sing. The first time we sung that here in church, I was struggling big time. You can have it all, Lord, every part of my world. When our energies and our effort and our time go into what we desire or what we put out there as you can have anything you want, that begins to become our God and what we serve. And it's interesting, Jesus' response was, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You can't have your foot in two camps. Doesn't work. You might think it does, but it doesn't work. Luke 6:24, and this is about money, okay? This is just about money. So this is a scripture about money. It says, no one can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Which camp are you in? Which side? Is there something that you're desiring that is owning you? Is your work owning you? What's owning you? Or does God own you? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with work and there's nothing wrong with money. There are three temptations here that Jesus went through to give us a good indication of how it is for us. If we have a look at those three temptations, live on bread only. Don't worry about the spirit. Just satisfy the flesh needs. Satisfy everything about flesh. You can live on bread only. The second is, you can do whatever you want to do and everything will be okay. And the third one is, you can have whatever you want to have and it'll be okay also. As with Jesus, the Spirit descended upon him, and the same Spirit dwells in us. We can take them down now, John, if we can. That same Spirit will help us to recognise temptation when it comes and deal with it just as Jesus did. By the way, the deceiver's temptations are deceptive, not obvious. He works like a wedge. I did a message a few years ago in youth, and some of the guys that are here would probably remember it. We got a nod from Luke and Andy. And if you know the shape of a wedge, it's shaped like this. You put a wedge under a door to stop it. And see, when I spoke about that message, Satan works like a wedge. He comes very small. And then at the end of the wedge, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what happens with the way Satan works is he doesn't make a big song and dance about the little thing at the start. But once the wedge gets in, it's clearly determined to separate you and God in your relationship with him. So the thing that started small has now become bigger. If we don't deal with the temptation when it comes, it ends up being like termites in a house. One day you push on a wall or a doorway or a floor or a cupboard and it looks okay, but it crumbles under you and you say, how did it get to this point? See, a bank robber didn't start robbing banks. He stole some money out of his dad's or mum's drawer when he was a little kid. See, temptation's like a little lie's okay, but then it becomes bigger. A little bit of a criticism is okay, but then it becomes a habit. A little bit of silent treatment at home, you know, I'll give someone silent treatment for 5 minutes is okay, but then it becomes 2 weeks and 3 weeks. A little bit of not keeping your word is all right, but then we start saying things that we're going to do and we never do them and we never fulfill what's been happening. See, it's a little temptation to just let it go at the start, and then it gets to the point where it's just not temptation anymore. It's just part of who we are and what we do and what we're recognised for in life. See, to be real with you today, when I was about 12, I was walking home from school and I walked down a back laneway and there was a magazine on the ground. And I could see by the magazine that what was inside wasn't good. It was a pornographic magazine. But that little bit of temptation caught my eye. And I thought, I might just get it up, pick it up and have a look. And I opened the pages and I looked at 3 or 4 pages and I threw it down. But the images had gone in. And pornography is something that I've dealt with in life. And it's been hard to deal with. And I'm sure there's other guys in here that have probably dealt with the same things. But it's when it's small that it matters that you've got to bat it off, that you've got to deal with things when they're small. See, for some of you, it might be, you know, it might have come to the point where your work and your work life are needing to be recognised and, you know, working 70 or 80 hours a week is just part of who you are and yet everything else in your life is being put aside. But it only started small. It was the first bit of recognition. It was the first little bit of promotion. But then it's taken over your whole life and it's everything that you are. See, I reckon one of the, you know, in a general statement, I think lifestyle choices is where the greatest temptations have taken over the Western world. People make lifestyle choices to benefit their lifestyle and put the things of God aside. And then they wake up one day and they wonder why their family's falling apart. And they wonder why their relationship with God is just so distant that it can't come back. But it can start with a thought. It can just start with a thought. It doesn't matter what the thought is. It can start with a thought. And so Jesus was sent into the desert by the Holy Spirit so he could overcome and go in power, so we can look at that and go, we can do that too. 2 Corinthians 10:13. I love this scripture. I just love it. We've got that one, Jono. Just follow it with me. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual. So for those of you who might be sitting there thinking, oh, the temptations I get, no one else would be getting. Because it says here, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. I love this. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. If we could begin to hand out the communion, that'd be fantastic. We're going to take communion just as I finish this and I move into communion. I just want to go back to Luke 4:13 to 14. When the devil had finished every temptation, he temporarily left him until a more opportune time. Then Jesus went back to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the entire region. What Jesus went through, he did it so we can look at it and go in the same power that he went in. And you can walk in the power that God has for you. And you can deal with temptation. Don't sit there today and say that you can't. You can. And where you've crossed the line and gone too far and you see that picture of the wedge and things, it can be sorted. It can be sorted today. Jesus' death on the cross and rising again gave you the power to walk it. He gave you the power to deal with temptation while it's small. And even while it's big, he'll show you, recognise through his word. And so today I just want to say to you, as communion's been handed out, thank God for what he went through so we can recognise temptation, bat it off and go and walk in power every day of the week. And so Sunday doesn't become, oh, I've had a bad week, I'm going to fix it up on Sunday. Sunday becomes, we've walked in power this week, we've seen God's power in my life, moved and seen things change in the lives of people that don't even know God because of the power that I walk in. And so, with the communion in your hands, I just want to turn to Luke 22, I think it is. Luke 22, let me open it up. I need my glasses for this. Luke 22 and verse 17 says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't forget. Every day, don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget that my body was broken for you. Don't forget that my blood was shed for you. But give thanks each day for it. Be thankful for what I've done. be thankful that you can walk in the victory that I've given you. Be thankful that the things of the past have gone. Be thankful each day for what you have and what you can walk in. It's not a distant memory of 2,000 or so years ago. It's here and it's alive in us. As we remember each day, it helps us to remember what we have in Christ. With the bread and the cup, it helps us to remember. And we can walk in victory. We can overcome temptation. And we can walk in power that God has given us to walk in. We can see people who we never thought would come to God, come to God. We can see people who are destitute come to God in a powerful way. So I want you to take a moment in reflection. And just be thankful for what God has given. But make a decision never to forget. Have it as a, you know, I'm going to remember today. I'm going to remember today. I'm going to remember today. Don't forget what was won for us on the cross and the power that we can walk out in. So just take a moment to reflect, and then we will eat together in a moment.